You guys, have you heard about Squarespace? You must have, because I talk about it all the time. Their website has helped me with my businesses, but it will also help you grow your business. And it really does take the guesswork out of building a website. They have so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of our favorite product features is the Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine, built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Okay, you guys, my husband and I are getting ready to celebrate the 15th anniversary of when we met. And we're kind of dorks about our anniversary and we love surprising each other. And so I'm really glad to have a place like Macy's where I can find something for the man who has everything. So if you're looking for your partner or your best friend or someone that you care very much about, like me, you're in luck because Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. You're going to get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more. Plus, free shipping when you spend $25. It's April 25th through May 5th at Macy's.com and in-store.
Friends, it is the season of cheers. Shop the largest selection of wine, liquor, beer, mixers, and more delivered in as little as 1 hour.
Oh, that's so easy. Mini bar delivery brings the wine and liquor store to the palm of your hand. As featured in Rolling Stone, People, the New York Times Magazine, their app is loaded with party essentials, gifts, cocktails, entertaining tips, and the perfect finishing touch to any life moment.
And you'll get $10 off your first mini bar delivery order with code IHEART. Get mini bar delivery on the go, available on iOS or Android.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape Resorts and Spas and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
I don't know about y'all. I love the holidays, and they also stress me out. Yesterday, I was trying to get everybody's gifts wrapped, and I just needed a second. I was on my fourth paper cut, and I was like, okay, take a walk around the house, calm yourself down. And you know what I did? I went and got myself a cookie, and I felt better. So all I'm saying is if you're tired or besieged by paper cuts, I think you deserve a cookie too.
I agree. Guys, Keebler Sandies are buttery. They're shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, pecans, and almonds.
And each Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by those cute little Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies. It's the perfect treat that'll keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy's shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Hey, sports fans, we are back for another edition of Drama Queens. And this one, we are talking about episode 22 in season 2, The Tide That Left and Never Came Back, air date May 24th, 2005.
Here's what happens in this episode. Hillary cries a lot. Chad does a really nice job of being very sincere. And Brian Greenberg is a full teen heartthrob. But really, it's part one of season two, finale. And we have Jimmy Eat World. Lucas and Brooke head to New York for an overnight stay with Haley. Peyton and Jake's relationship hits another bump in the road because of Nikki, and Dan is still out to destroy Karen. He's ruining her relationship with Andy. And meanwhile, Andy's trying to find out what Dan is hiding in his office. Bum, bum, bum. And Nathan's got a really big decision to make about high flyers and his family. If you're wondering why it sounds a little quiet here, it's because I am the only drama queen. I'm the only one in the studio today. But never fear, we have an awesome guest today. One of my dearest friends, who you may recognize, maybe you might recognize him. He was raised in Kelowna, British Columbia, as the son of an ice hockey player, but he started his acting career on a soap opera called Santa Barbara. And then he did Beverly Hills 90210. And then he did Soap Dish. This guy was even in The Notebook. Ladies and gentlemen, a drama king in his own right. My dear friend, Paul Johansson. Hello, Paul.
Hi. Yeah, drama king. That's just because we share our lives privately. We know our dramas. Right?
Drama king and queen, for sure. Oh, my goodness. Wait, what did it feel like to watch this episode back? I mean, how long has it been since you've watched an episode except for the one? Did you watch one before you did our live episode?
I have to admit, I didn't watch it. No. Oh, I watched part of it. No, I did. I watched part
of it. Yeah, you saw some of it because we discussed it.
Yeah,
but to really sit and just take it all in after
2011, yeah, the season finale,
right?
Yeah, the series finale.
Yeah, it's
that
been
was it. That was the last one I watched.
It's been a long time. How'd that feel?
You know, actually, there's a lot. You know, the world has turned TV, right? All the great filmmakers are making TV shows now.
Yeah.
Right? All the big actors, our big stars, we're like, oh, they'll never do TV. They're all TV stars.
Yeah, it's all changed.
It's a huge different world out there. And so, but to go and see the simpleness and the sweetness, and we were talking about it during the episode we were watching together, there was something really charming. And the way that our creators made music the backbone of our show,
yeah,
gave it a kind of like a poetry about it. Don't you think?
I totally think so. I felt like, they introduced me to a lot of bands that I didn't know about. I guess because I was never really into the modern trendy music scene. I was always such like an old hippie with music and listening to Carole King in my room and Billy Joel. And so it was really fun to be able to hear what all the new bands were and it be introduced to all this new talent. And clearly Jimmy Eat World at the time was a really big deal and got bigger. So that was really fun.
Did our show have something to do with the a little bit of a bump in their career?
I think it did. I mean, I would love to ask them, but it had to have. I mean, the show was huge at the time. Season two was when it really started to lift off, which is crazy because we've been saying this whole time that it was such a boring season, like, or just not boring, but kind of a terrible season. It was just so over the top and so many things that we didn't love. But
you know, it reminds me when you mentioned Santa Barbara, like nobody knows.
Yes.
Back in the days doing soap operas, the producer used to walk through the set before every scene going, remember, tension, everybody, tension. Like they wanted conflict. Every scene has to have conflict. And so I was watching this episode and I was like going, this is kind of the formula for keeping people interested.
Yeah. You
know, conflict. And this episode is rife with conflict.
It's nonstop. I mean, it is a finale, so I think that's fair enough.
I wouldn't have said this 10 years ago if I watched this episode, which I think I did. But my favorite storyline in this episode, I really liked Jake and Hillary's story. I thought there was something. I mean, she was literally sobbing in every scene.
Every scene. I wish she was here right now because she would have so many fun things to say about that.
But, you know, he's got, you know, now that I'm a single dad.
Yeah.
And I know, and we both know what it's like to raise, you know, a little one in the craziness of having, you know.
Family cord and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard.
And
so,
you know, and you see, you know, his, you know, I just see a real kind of honor about the way that he approached it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's fighting hard, but he's still got this great, and I love his love for his daughter, that it's more than his love for even Peyton.
Yeah.
Kind of to be a great parent, you kind of love your kids more than your partner. Right?
I don't know. You know what? I actually have, I've heard different sides on that. And
I'm very curious about that.
Well, that's something that actually is worth talking about, because as a parent, I mean, I'm a single mom, so I can't speak from experience on this, but it does seem to me that in order to give your child the stability that a child needs, that making your partner the most important person in the family to you, and then the children come second, kind of eliminates an element of codependence with your child, that you know the child knows their place in the structure of the family and their place in the world, rather than feeling like they might be above the other parent.
That is a beautiful interpretation. I've never heard it put that way before, but I really need to sit with that and ponder that. I love it. What I would submit to you would be, one is that I think they may be different loves.
Yeah.
You know, and that, and the second part would be that I've never experienced.
Me either.
That I've come first before anything. Like, it's usually, no, my career comes first. No, this is my favorite car. You're never driving it. No, all right. Well.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever experienced that either. Not in my childhood.
Been put first ever in someone's life. Like, you've never been, you are my priority. I'm going to make sure that this is the most important thing to me. And you've never been made to feel that way?
I can think of maybe one or maybe two boyfriends that I felt that way with, but it always came with baggage of, like, there was actually a neediness underneath it, where by them making me the priority, it felt like they were.
That was my follow-up question.
Yeah, it was more about them than it. Right. It was more about them than it was about me. So I think, no, I don't think.
You see why it's hard. It's hard for us as men to know. I'm going to make you first. Well, if I make her first, she won't respect me. You know what I mean? So, okay, I'm going to pretend she is first, but I'm not going to let her know that. I'm going to act like, you know, now I got to go with the guys tonight, you know, right? Well, it's our anniversary. Well, yeah, we'll celebrate with, you know, we'll do it tomorrow.
I don't know if it's that I wouldn't respect it or don't respect it. I think it's just that I don't want there to be any guile about it. I don't want there to be any, like you're trying to get something out of it by being the knight in shining armor. Like, it's the quiet honor that you actually talk about a lot, Paul, in your life and the way that you function in your life with your relationships and with your son and with your work. And there's an internal honor code that I think is what I'm looking for in the context of what we're talking about, where it's not just, hey, look at me, I'm the knight in shining armor. Okay, now give me something for it. It's just a genuine offering of, you're my priority. And I don't need you to give anything any back, because then I will give above and beyond. But if I sense that there's guile, it freaks me out and I kind of back off.
Let me ask you a question about that. When you feel you're about to step over that line of that code ever, because I know you and I have a lot of similarities with it.
Yeah.
It's almost like an alarm is ringing inside of you going, this isn't who you are. This isn't you. But even if it's easy, line, and you test that code sometimes.
Even if it's what? Say again?
Even if it's an easy step over the line, like something, you know, that you like, I don't know, this is a terrible example, but like taking a job just for the money when you know that it's like something you shouldn't be doing because your heart's not going to be in it.
Yeah.
Right. I know a lot of people may not be able to understand that, but from an artist's point of view, that's almost like selling your soul.
Right.
And it's painful. But we've all kind of gone there.
Yeah.
And what you do is you try not to be too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You've done it. And say, you know, it's like, I've got to be able to forgive myself for that moment, because there's a bigger picture here. If I can really live the good life that I want to live in, and most of all, wake up and look in the mirror and not be disappointed, then everything else will be okay.
Yeah.
Eventually. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There has to be that internal honor code. And as artists, I think we, as actors particularly, I guess, we become professional bullshit detectors in a lot of ways. And that, you know, bleeds into our relationships, because I know I do. My alarms all go crazy.
And destroys them too.
Yeah. If I feel like somebody's not being real with me, and then I can just pick and pick and pick. But But bringing it back to the kids, which is that, you know, I haven't been in a relationship long enough with a romantic relationship long enough while I've had my daughter to be able to say that this theory works, but in theory, it does seem to make sense to me. And I appreciate what Jake does here.
If there was a scale, you could say like, here's the components that I need to be in a relationship. Like, you have to be attracted to the other person.
Of course.
You have to respect them.
Yes.
And you have to have similar long-term goals.
Yeah. Values and long-term goals, values. I guess. Yeah.
Is there anything else I'm missing on that?
No, I think that's it. Values is a huge one. And then, yeah, long-term goals, I think. Well, long-term goals change. I mean, the long-term goals I think I had when I was 20 are very different from what I have now.
See, for me, it was only, I just had to be attracted. That was the cutoff.
How many years did you live like that? As a handsome acting bachelor, like party man out there, you had access to everything. I mean, everything at your feet, at your disposal. How long did you live your life that way before you started to go, okay, I need a shift now?
My dating life is an HBO special. It is. It is a complicated, long, I mean, I dated a girl that we were followed by the CIA one time. I dated a
what?
Girl. Yeah. I dated a girl who was involved in a very big political scandal back in like the late 1980s. And you know, he's quite a famous person. And then, you know who else I've dated. It's been a very interesting, but you know, I came from a small town. You said at the beginning of the thing, from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Yeah.
Beautiful little glacier lake town in Canada, which, and you know, and you, and like you, you came from New Jersey, and now you meet all these people that everyone has this idea of what they are. Nobody is like what they perceive to be in the public persona. Everybody's way more complicated, nuanced, and different.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's so hard to just take one glance or know a character or know, you know, see, read some interviews or whatever, see some interviews and feel like you really have a whole rounded picture of a person.
You said when Jake was on his motorcycle, you like, what'd you say? You said,
he's such a teen heartthrob.
So that, there you go. See the image of a young, handsome, honorable, single man fighting for your hair looks.
I know. Thanks. I'm having fun with my hair, guys.
On the motorcycle. And he's got the James Dean look over his shoulder. He's not looking right at you. He's got to look over his shoulder a little bit.
Yeah.
He's got everything going on. And you go, and you know, I guess I could hear on the other side, you sweating. I can hear you. And I was like going, yeah, okay, I get it. There's the imagery. But that sort of plays into our thing. It's like, this is the presentation.
Yeah.
But we know he's goofy and lovable and intelligent and funny and fun. And like, he's not this like, deep and tortured. He's, you know what I mean? So we get these fragments.
You get glimpses.
Glimpses.
Friends, you are going to love Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the safest and easiest way to digitize your memories on analog media that you don't have a way to watch anymore.
With Mother's Day fast approaching, it's a great gift for the whole family. Relive moments like wedding days, first steps, or the embarrassing haircut you had in the 90s. Thank you very much.
I feel attacked.
Please don't go look at my yearbook. You guys can reconnect with your family's history and hear your grandmother's voice again for the first time. It's priceless.
And the process is really easy. You just send in your Legacy Box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. And then their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the USA. And you'll get everything back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals.
It honestly is just the easiest thing. I loved this. When they sent ours to the house, it was like, throw all your stuff in it. It honestly felt kind of ridiculous to me. I was like, is this okay? I'm just like sending a box of all these loose goods. Like, really? I just do this? And they did such a beautiful job with like everything from our old videos, old Polaroids. It was really, really special. And I can't wait to do a round two.
And it opened up all that space on my shelf because I've got all these bins full of VHS tapes and same, big photos. And just to be able to open that space up is really, really nice.
Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Just go to legacybox.com/drama to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever. Legacybox.com/drama.
Friends, we need a second to talk about Squarespace. Squarespace has so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of the product features that I love is their asset library. You can upload, organize, and access all of your content from one place. With the new asset library, you're able to manage all of your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. They also have flexible website templates, so you can get started with one of their professional website templates with designs for every category and use case. Then you just customize your look, update content, and add features to fit your unique needs. You can make any Squarespace template do what you want, so your idea, your brand, or your business stands out online on every device. Plus, they will make selling your products on an online store a breeze. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So I play this little game every morning where I leave the house looking decrepit. And then I drop my children off at school. And then I get to my office and I take out a nice, cute little bag that came with my Thrive Cosmetic order. And with just a couple of products, I'm able to look like a normal, happy, healthy human again. It's incredible. I love these products. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients, their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. Now, a few of my favorite products include their incredible Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. Its easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like wax and blends like a powder. Just line brows to give this some structure and create natural-looking strokes of hair to fill in sparse brows. It comes with a spoolie brush to lift and tame brows after applying the pencil, and there are 8 shades to choose from that adjust to your natural brow color for a perfect match every time. Now, my other favorite product, I've been talking about this forever, is the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. And it's super easy to remove, you guys. This is my favorite part. It just slides right off with warm water, doesn't leave smudges, doesn't pull your eyelashes out. It's incredible. Its nourishing ingredients support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/drama. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/drama for 10% off your first order.
You guys, I am spread so thin and I am in my car 90% of the day shuttling children. So when I am parked in the pickup line and I can get my grocery shopping done, it is the greatest treat in the world. And that is why I am obsessed with Thrive Market.
Absolutely. Because the one thing everyone has to do is grocery shop. So why not do it from the comfort of your couch while you're killing time in the parking lot, wherever you are? That's where Thrive Market comes in for me. It's the no junk food, healthy grocery store that we love, that your kids love. It's great.
That's it, baby. Thrive Market is my go-to for all of my grocery and household essentials. And the convenience of getting everything online and then quickly shipped to my doorstep is a huge time saver.
And I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. See, they restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories. And then you can use their on-site filters to suit whatever your lifestyle needs are.
Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/drama for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/drama. thrivemarket.com/drama.
Ooh, Mother's Day can be hard to shop for because there's that bad habit of buying mom things that she needs, you know, like, oh, here's some oven mitts, mom, or here's a new vacuum cleaner, mom. But Mother's Day is really about showering the woman who does so much with just a little extra love. And so Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. Now, you can shop by price, like $25 and under, or $100 and under, or by category, like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or they have gift lists if you're really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, or for the plant lover, or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, Le Creuset Shallot Dutch Oven. It goes on and on. So whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop at Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Well, I loved the glimpses we got of him and Hillary. I agree. They did a really nice job and they had a great storyline. And I also really liked Chad in this episode a lot. I thought he was really sincere.
I agree.
You know,
it's some of his most profound being there moments. I thought so too. I thought he didn't stretch. He wasn't pushing hard. It was very natural. I agree with you. I think he was very good in this episode.
Yeah, really sincere and just kind of the thread between all this, all the storylines.
Although I do question the moment when he sits and judges Haley for playing around. She wasn't. It wasn't sexual in context with you
But come on, he hasn't seen her in ages. Like the first time he shows up to see her and she's like on a couch, you know, wrestling with this guy. I don't know. I get that he was annoyed.
Tickling, giggling, and then he's passing judgment. I was like going, oh, come on. You know.
Yeah,
that's real too. That's real. Right?
It is. And one of the things about going back and watching this show, it's been fun to realize where we are now in our maturity and our understanding of the gray areas of life and how nothing is exactly what it seems. And, you know, there's just so many facets to a person and their experiences. And when you're in high school or when you're in your early 20s, like we were when we were filming it, you know, then there you have so much judgment and the world seems much more black and white. And I think you and I see that with our kids too, because I know Maria's like that. The things are very black and white. And trying to explain, well, there's gray areas here. I mean, I know, Quinn, you're laughing. Go ahead.
Especially atheist, communist. I'm this way, Dad. I'm like, yeah, tell me in 5 years what you are, you know.
Right.
It's all going to change. It's funny. I was thinking about what you were saying about our perception of people too. It's like when I was in high school, I knew what my future wife was going to be. She was going to be speak French and wear Chanel all the time. And she was going to be, you know, speak 9 languages and, you know, have a PhD in philosophy and she's going to love me and we're going to be together forever.
Oh my God, that's such a high bar.
Right. And then, you know, in my 40s and 50s, she has to have a pulse. It's like literally, just like I'm going to narrow it down way small. Right?
Oh God, I know. I'm looking at my notes here because there was so much drama in this episode.
I have lots of notes too.
Oh, you do?
Talk about Dan for a second.
Yeah. Let's talk about Dan, because what the hell was that with Karen? Oh my God.
Are you going to the kiss right away?
We can build up to it. Go ahead.
Well, I just thought that, you know, I just see, okay, first off, there was something early on with you, right? We had a little thing there, right? Was that you?
That was the flashback when you brought the annulment papers.
That's right. Okay. So,
yeah.
Okay. That sets up this finale.
Definitely.
Right. And that's the papers that you gave Lucas.
Right.
Or copies of to give to him.
Yeah. I think you forged Nathan's signature or something, but you gave me the paperwork and told me that Nathan had signed it. And so I believed you. How many times do people have to be proven wrong by believing Dan and finding out that he's just lying?
What's that old adage again? It's like when people show you who they are.
Believe them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to be honest with you. Even though I'm the actor playing the part, I really enjoyed Dan. I enjoyed when he came on, I went, okay, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's a nice feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is that one of your favorite things about playing Dan or playing a character that is so instigating of things? Or I don't know. Help me with my vocabulary word.
Because this is you're so like, this is why you and I are friends. Your instincts as an artist are always so like perfect. It's like, I love talking because it's showdown with us. We know, yeah. I know that you cut to stuff. When Karen comes in and she's mad, she's like spitting fire, man. You know, she's Satan's mistress at the moment. And she comes in. The first cut to me sitting in the chair, I see her in my eyes and immediately I start to go, got her. Because right. if I can affect somebody, and then my character is smiling because he knows I got her. Why would he do anything unless he got a reaction? Everything is for a reaction. Yeah. And that was the fun part of playing Dan, was I get to make people react.
Yes.
So fun.
Yes. That's the fun part about anyone will tell you playing a villain is fun. Because you get to get a reaction out of people. Everything that you do is very forward movement. And it's got a lot of energy behind it. It's really fun.
But then you don't want to, the real interesting and nuance to that, which makes it really interesting, is once you've got them, is you play opposite their energy when they come in the room.
Yes.
She's moving, and I'm very still.
Yeah.
And she's moving, and I'm very still. It's like you want and make them rage against
Oh, them. God, it's a classic. I mean, I know you and I both have experience with narcissists in different areas in our life. And but that is so classic. That's what they do. They pick at you and they do enough things to where you explode because you're a normal human being with a normal reaction. And then they turn around and go, look how crazy you are. Oh my goodness.
You really need help.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's scary, but you knew that. And you know, you knew how to add those layers to Dan, which I love.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I mean, there's no specifics in this because I don't think it's fair.
Of course.
Because we pull a lot of our, you know, our work off of not one person, but just a plethora of life experience.
Absolutely.
But I will say that the people that have irritated me, that have got under my skin the most, are the ones that I, against my better nature, still trusted. Like, because they were good. They were like, you know, supportive and loving and this, but something inside of me was going, yeah, this doesn't feel authentic, but I still wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. That's right? That gut feeling. It's hard to get in touch with your gut sometimes. I spent a lot of years of my life believing that my instincts were bad and just messed up. Like there was something wrong with my instincts. And so I needed to trust other people's instincts for me. And I spent a lot of time handing out my autonomy to other people that I trusted. Some people were lovely people that I trusted and some people did terrible things to me because I trusted them and I shouldn't have. But at the end of the day, that's my fault for you're a kid especially when you're young, you know, those things get taught to you in such strange ways. But at the end of the day, it is our responsibility to learn how to come out of that and trust that nobody knows better for us than us. We're the only people that have our gut. We're the only people living our lives and, you know, walking through life, not taking chances, not risking trusting the wrong people is no way to live. So I think you kind of have to do that. You have to experiment with that.
These are the great takeaways from our show, though. Imagine our audience watches all these scenarios. In this episode, there was 50 different scenarios of people being manipulated or feeling bad or situations not going the way you wanted them to. And it was about how people reacted to them. And so when all of our fans come up to us at conventions on the street and they want to talk about the show and they want to hear about it, you know, you realize that they're living through these characters.
Yeah.
And they're bringing in their own life experiences and going, and it helps in a way, and I don't mean like to educate, but the more you see it going bad, the more you see it going good, the more you see how people react to situations, the more that you can say, oh, this is why I need to watch this show, because it gives me at least some sort of confirmation that I'm not crazy and that I'm not the bad person or I'm not doing anything wrong. Life just happens. And it's how I react to it.
I love that.
That really defines who I am.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Oh, that's a really sweet way of looking at the show too. I love that. Mm. You said, speaking of trust issues, you said when we were watching this episode
Maybe
Lucas and Haley were laying in bed. They were just, you know, it was a late night best friends, just laying there staring out at the moon shining in the window and talking you know, talking about life. And he says, I noticed you're not wearing your wedding ring. And she says, it's not because I don't love him. And it's not because of the press tour or the record label. It's because I feel like I don't deserve to. And you didn't buy it.
No, I didn't.
And I think that's a really genuine. So tell me what you think. Tell me why that bothered you so much.
Wait a minute. We're good friends. Yeah. You tell me why you think I didn't buy it. And then I'll tell you if you're right. You know me, and I want to see. This is like that, you know, like that on the dating game, they go, how well do you know your partner?
Oh gosh. Okay. All right. Let's see. You felt like it was an evasive answer. And I think you were bothered by the fact that she wasn't being completely honest with herself. You felt like she wasn't being honest with herself or with Lucas. I think it also bothered you because I know you've been lied to many times by women in your life. And I'm sure that's built up a pattern. So I wonder if maybe your immediate distrust of that answer was partly because you felt like you've been lied to a lot. I don't know.
You are 100% in my mind. You know me better than anybody. And you answered it beautifully. You are right on the money.
Really?
I was listening to myself, a much prettier version of myself.
And you so you thought the real answer maybe would be, I'm confused. I don't know what I want. And
you know, you got it better the first time when you said that there was a bit of dishonesty to herself about it. You know, I think that she knows why she ticked it off, but admitting it is too accountable. It would make her too accountable for what she's really feeling.
Which and is so, what do you think?
Which is like, I mean, look, not what's on the show, but what Paul Johansson interprets those types of behaviors.
Well, yes, that's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Good. Because I want to make sure there's definitely a difference. So my interpretation of that is like, I'm a good girl. I'm never going to cheat on my husband. I'm never going to put it out there that I'm available, even though I'm still married. Blah 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 blah. But I'm going to take off my ring and tickle and, you know, my best friend on the sofa, giggly, giggly with some sexual, you know, vibes to it. Mm. But I'm innocent. My feeling is I'm a diehard romantic. I always have been. I believe in love. I'm just not very good at it. And my feeling is if I truly loved somebody, you would have to cut my finger off before you could get my wedding ring off, even after we divorced, because my love, like, is immutable. It is strong. And I believe in it. I believe in that. I believe in marriage. I believe in that stuff. I just wish that, you know, that there was like, you and I lived in a fairy tale world where, like, you know, love could survive anything if it was real. You know what I mean? But it can't. You know, it's a romantic vision of the world that doesn't exist. And so it bothers me that it doesn't exist. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. What'd you say?
It's not a perfect answer, but it's mine.
I still just don't understand it, though. I don't understand. I mean, I get generally what you're saying, but I don't quite understand what you mean.
Does she still love Nathan? Does she still love him?
Yes.
And he knows that she loves her. Right?
Yes.
So that's real. So that's all the ring means. Taking the ring off is not like taking off because I don't deserve it. Taking the ring off is saying, you know, I'm basically saying I'm available. My heart is not taken by one person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the symbolism to me meant. That's why when I called him BS on
So it was like it's a way of deceiving yourself.
That's
but
what
really
I
felt. What you're doing is notifying the world that you are available again.
And do you think any more love story was more profound on the series One Tree Hill for 10 or 9 years? That love story, was the love story of the show.
Yeah, it was.
It's my favorite one to watch. And I was there when he proposed to you. I shot that episode.
Oh, and you did?
Yeah, I did.
Wait, oh my gosh, Paul, I forgot about that. That's awesome.
And I shot the one where you guys were you know, falling off the bed, leaving the voice message together. And I mean, I loved shooting you guys together.
So I'm gonna bat back at that response, and you're not totally wrong, actually, in my opinion, based on me as Haley listening to that response. I wouldn't say you're totally wrong. What I would say is that there's an element of feeling like she doesn't deserve it because she knows that she hasn't lived up to Nathan's expectations of her, and that she has sort of allowed herself to open her heart to the possibility of other people or someone else and maybe the marriage ending. And like that would lead her then to feeling that self-loathing of, I don't even deserve this anyway, which it's kind of like a double-edged sword? Is that the right analogy? It's definitely, I mean, I think I've been
Joy? Can we love? Can you love two men at the same time?
Oof.
Can you be in love with two guys? Like,
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I know that I can't.
Yeah.
I know that I can't because I know me now after all these years. I know that I can only love one person at a time.
I mean, I could love people in different ways.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, it's hard.
Yeah.
There's always, like, if I'm really in love with someone, I've done it where I've been in love with someone, it's not working, and then I go out with other people, and as much as I try, great as they are.
I'm the same, yeah.
I just can't. No, it's too hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing was we've commented on the Kieran and Karen.
Yeah, I was going to go to them next because that's another thing of the tragedies of I should go on to this quote. The quote was, there are two tragedies in life. This is the quote of the episode. There are two tragedies in life.
Bernard Shaw, right?
Yes. To gain the desire of your heart, or to lose the desire of your heart, and also to gain it. So another loss here, Karen and Andy. And
yes, but I love the two actors. I love them very much. Mm-hmm. In fact, I really love them. The love that felt forced a little bit to me. It felt a little bit unearned in terms of the way that it ended to me.
What do you mean? Because it just didn't feel like they had enough history.
That's really the crux of the point you captured immediately, as you do, Joy. But part also is that I felt that, you know, maybe there was something edited out of the episode that might have given us a little bit more to.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, but also you haven't been watching the last, you know, 22 episodes, and there has been.
Calling me out publicly. You're calling me out. And you're right.
Oh, come on. We know you don't have time for that. You're fancy now. You got so much going on.
That last line that he threw out at her. Right?
Oh, that was rough. That felt like it didn't need to be said. What did he say? Oh, I love you. I love you too. It just seems like it just isn't enough.
Yeah.
Wow. Ouch. That was rough. Yeah, that was rough. But Karen had a big episode here.
Oh, she was, when she came firing in, man, she does that Irish anger real good.
We were saying in the other episode, her whole chest went red in her face when she got angry with Lucas for something a few episodes ago. It was great.
A lot of scenes together. Yeah. And she's such a calm and kind person in life. So it's great to see that her canvas. Her canvas is so beautiful with colors that she can just draw them in. You know what I mean?
That's lovely. There was one moment in this that felt strange to me, which was when after Andy leaves your office and you throw the award.
The award.
Through the new glass window, presumably the new glass window.
It didn't feel.
You know what bugged me about it, Paul, is that I just didn't believe Dan would ever give anyone the satisfaction of knowing that they had pissed him off.
No, I agree with you. I think there were some conversations on this set about it was an unmotivated overreaction to me. And I think that I remember having that conversation, but what they wanted was the bookends of the break through the window back to back for, you know, for the drama of the finale. And so we had to get there somewhere. my job is to give them what they wish in a way that feels truthful.
Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes you can't fully achieve those things when requested, even when you put your very best work into it, you know.
So one of my goals for 2024 is to shop more sustainably, right? I mean, it's not just spending money and buying stuff. You can actually do a lot of good with the money that you spend. So I love being able to shop sustainably at Macy's, and I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes that make a big difference. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elmis, and more. Plus, to bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. They're transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. You can donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. All right, you guys know that I have been wearing Skims for a while now. I've bragged about it. Just recently, I tried another one of their t-shirts. Now, it's the best fitting t-shirt I have ever worn. And that's because Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I get dressed every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning because the second I leave the house to take the kids to school, I'm in meetings, I'm doing Zooms, I'm driving all over the town, I'm going to Home Depot to get stuff for my yard. You know, like I'm constantly on the go. And so I want to be comfortable, but I also don't want to look like a bum. And these t-shirts are the perfect fix, you guys. They look great, they fit great, and they feel great. So shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small, all the way up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape Resorts and Spas and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
Drama Queens is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Oh, it's no secret that we love therapy. And we're very proud because of that, that this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Lately, I don't know what is like in the air, but it seems like everybody's social battery is really getting tested right now. Like,
yeah.
We're all just juggling so much, you know, work schedules are ramping up. And I think like, that really is one of the most important times to make sure you're also taking care of yourself. You know, when you've got so many obligations, to check in with yourself and make sure that, you know, you're setting boundaries that you need and getting the rest that you need, the sleep that you need. And those things require practice, don't you think?
Yeah, it's hard to say no. And it can be really easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings ramping up after a long winter.
I get energy being around you guys. I love being around my friends. And I've really been able to figure out in therapy that kind of self-awareness to know when I have the energy to dive in and, you know, when maybe at the end of a long stretch where social life's been crazy, work's been really busy, where I need a little quiet time. It's learning about a balance for my life that doesn't drain my battery, you know?
Yeah. So if you guys at home are thinking of starting therapy, seriously, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and it's suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/drama today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drama.
Ooh, honey, you know that I can't wear fancy shoes with a dress. I am a boots and dress woman. So now that festival and concert season are going to be all about boots, Tecovas must be your stop before attending your next concert, you guys. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparels, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. This is so important. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. And the smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today.
What was your experience like on other shows with things like that? Because I think in TV that happens a lot where something is just on a page or, you know, a writer's room decided, here's what we need for the poetry of the episode. And they're not taking into consideration that an actor, you know, may be able to bring to light reasons why it would not be organic to do it that way. And yet it's television. It's not film. We don't have time to rehearse and adjust all those things. Was it the similar on other TV shows that you had been on, that there was a lot of that all the time, or was it mostly on more on One Tree Hill or less? Or you've had such a long career.
There's two answers to that that I would like to put forward. First off is, because it's a really great question for people that are listening that have, you know, ideas of theater or acting, whatever, and so they may run into these situations. It's always nice to talk about the process, especially the collaborative process on that level. On procedural shows, you know them all. There's so many of them.
Yeah.
There's no conversations. This is what's happening. It's a committee. The committee has just passed down the lectern. This is what's happening to do, because they shoot them fast, you get out, and you don't have debate, you know, on that. It's happening. On a show with a really hands-on kind of showrunner, like a Matt Weiner, who I've worked for, people like that, there's intelligent conversations which help you understand the processes where they got to. And these aren't, you know, these sort of like quick decisions. They're very thought out, and they have meaningful collaborations with actors, and you get to figure things out, which work, and they will make adjustments in order to make that work. But to turn it all around from a directing point of view as a director, and you've worked with me as a director, if an actor says to me, this doesn't feel organic. I feel like I'm faking this.
Yeah.
To me, that is like the death of anything I ever want filmed.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
You know, yeah, you are. Mm. And I remember one time, you know, you and I were working on a scene, and you were supposed to get really mad and something. And you said, I just feel like I want to like wipe this table clean and smash everything. And I said, well, then do it. And you're like, I can do that. And you kind of stopped. Remember in your tracks?
Yes.
Like, I can do it. I went, yeah. And I said, well, then they'll have to clean it all up. And I said, then they'll have to clean it all up.
Yeah.
And do it again. Like that's no disrespect to the crew, but that's their job.
Yeah, sure.
We all have a job. Your job is to be truthful. And our job is to give you the environment to be truthful in.
Yes.
You know, so you figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I remember on soaps, there was such a fast pace with that schedule. And I don't know if they were shot differently in LA than they were in New York, because did you guys do camera blocking? Like you went in and did like rehearsal blocking in a blank room, then you did camera blocking, and then everybody shot. They had like a slot between 1 and 5 that they would go in and shoot their scenes in the afternoon. That's how we shot ours.
Two of the three of those. We didn't have a rehearsal block. We had an on-set read-through where the director and the producers would walk through the set and go, conflict, conflict! And the director would go, this is where you stand, and then you move over here, then you move over here. And they'd literally paint lines on the floor so you wouldn't miss it, you know. Like but then they always had to do four, right? You know?
The what?
Always 3 or 4 cameras going.
Yep.
Same time. And then in the afternoon, you'd block out your pieces and shoot them. And you'd usually do them twice, right?
Because there were some soaps that would, you would go in and everything was done all at once. So you would go in and do your blocking, then you would immediately do camera blocking, and then you would shoot your scene. So everybody just went in at hair and makeup at different times, but everything would happen at once. And I never liked the idea of that. I'm glad we didn't do that because it gave us time to process after our blocking rehearsal. You'd have time to process before you went back to camera blocking and said, wait, something feels wrong. Something doesn't feel right about this.
Right. But One Tree Hill was, every director had kind of their own vibe, but we always kept the same kind of formula, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. Everybody, you would come in, get your makeup done. You'd really just get to set and start. You'd rehearse quickly. There was a 20-minute break for camera blocking, or 2 hours, depending on what was going on that day. And then you'd shoot. Quickly. We did.
I'm sure a lot of the fans would have loved to have been in the makeup room where all the gossip was going down.
Oh, yeah.
And people were talking about their weekends and who did what and what and where and how. And
I know.
Everybody's like bonding and friendships and people bringing in cookies. It was very nice.
It was fun. There was also a lot of drama in the hair and makeup trailer. And we've talked a lot. Hillary, Sophia, and I on the show have talked a lot about, you know, there's just so many, so easy to have so many misunderstandings and It is a place for gossip a lot of the time. And something I can say that I've noticed in this business is as time has gone on, it's not like it used to be in the hair and makeup trailer. It's talking about someone behind their back or gossip or, you know, where the whole trailer's just like up in arms talking about something. Mm-hmm. That's not happening anymore. I haven't seen that on a set in a very long time.
Good.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You know, because it's distracting. And a lot of times I would wear headphones because I just couldn't hear. I have to go do a scene with somebody and I'm finding all these things out about them that have nothing to do with my scene. And I really want to be focused on
the work, know,
preparing my performance and preparing my mental place for that character to be walking into the scene. You know, this whole thing that people, one thing that is always lacking in conversations about watching shows, when you watch, next time you watch a TV show, and a new scene starts, you know, remember that character's coming in with all the history of everything that just happened to that character before. When you're an actor, that's what you're reviewing before you go into you're walking into the set. Your head's going, when's the last time I saw this person? What did they say to me? How did I react? What happened since then? What new information have I learned? And now I'm walking into the scene and I have something to say. But it doesn't just happen where you walk out and say your lines.
Right.
There's a whole prior event value going on there.
Yeah.
Audiences, when they watch it, they go, oh, this person's always got, they're coming in with something. It's like, it's because they're doing their work.
Yeah. And you have to have the space to be able to do that in an undistracted space like that. It's super important. I think that's one of the reasons why artists get a bad rap as being really fussy sometimes, because you can be in a moment where you're really trying to prepare to give the most authentic performance so that the audience can have the most authentic experience. And if you get annoyed with someone who's bouncing around the set, chit-chatting or, you know, just being super distracting, or somebody who's standing next to you and just gossiping or trying to rope you into something. And if you, you know, in your zone go, I can't deal with that right now. Can we, you know, because it's so hard to stay focused and also turn to someone and go into a completely different zone of, hey, listen, I'm just trying to focus right now on my work. And I totally respect that you want to have this conversation. Would you mind doing it somewhere else? Like my brain, it's really hard for me to maintain. To maintain that dual, like, I don't know how to stay in. I can't stay in my zone. I have to come out of my zone in order to take care of someone else's problem and then try and find my way back into my zone. And that's really hard.
Joy's so difficult to work with. She really needs, I can't believe she asked me not to talk about my new gardening in my backyard. I was in the middle of telling her about my beets being planted and she said, I need space. Right? And you're like, no, but I want to hear about your beets. But my favorite person, I think, on the set, you know, everyone has an on-set demeanor, right?
Yeah.
Everyone, like, we're sitting in chairs, we're yakking away, we're rehearsing or we're talking, we're chatting about whatever. But we're sitting in our director chairs waiting to go and shoot a scene and we're all chumming around. There was one person who's my favorite person I've ever worked with. And her name is, I'll name some of her movies. You tell me who it is.
Okay.
She was in the Daniel Day-Lewis movie about Lincoln.
Okay.
She was in Fried Green Tomatoes, Tender Mercies.
Mary Stuart Masterson?
Sally Field.
Sally Field. Oh my gosh.
My favorite on-set demeanors. Sally comes with her own chair.
Okay.
And a bag. And she's fully rehearsed. Knows not only her lines, but everybody's lines. She's the smartest person in the room. She sits down and she just needlepoints all day.
Wow.
And listens. And then when it's her turn, she puts it down and she's amazing. It's like one of those things where she's just keeps her, but she doesn't leave, even when she's not in the scene, she's still there, needlepointing.
You worked with her on Soap Dish.
Soap Dish, yeah.
One of my favorite movies.
Very funny movie.
Very funny movie.
Maggie, I was at the gym doing leg lifts. Father Corey told me of your experience at the soup kitchen. Are you all right? And my shirt's off and I'm glistening. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
So good. I love that. You know who else on our show sounds very similar to that, actually? Sharon Lawrence is stellar at that. She is a dynamite actress and also can really manage. She's just such a Southern genteel woman. She knows how to manage every personality around
she
her.
She loves you, Joy.
I love her too.
We talked at, was it the party that you had at yours? Was it a Christmas party?
My Christmas party, yeah.
She was just, you know, we talked about you and she's like, she gets what I get. You know?
Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to be an artist in this world.
James had a very sort of solo, alone vibe in this episode. You know, suffering by himself, kind of like, you know, people come in and go, but then nobody stays with him. I really like the way they designed that to make him kind of like a man alone. You know what I mean?
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. I really like that too, because all we've seen of him is with Lucas in the last few episodes where, or dealing with stuff with Dan. And this was the first time, even the dinner table or the barbecue table that Dan set out flowers for, apparently. I was like, wow, the lavender's out on the table. Okay, Dan.
Give me a second. I'll turn my light back on. Can I turn it on?
What are you trying to turn on?
My light just popped off.
Oh yeah. Go ahead. I'll turn out his light. But I was going to say while you do that, I love seeing, even though he had that moment with Dan over the barbecue, horrible about Dan telling him about Deb's addiction. It was just such a bad parenting moment. But I think you're right. I love seeing that, giving James the opportunity to just have Nathan wrestle with himself and his own issues rather than wrestling with everyone else's interpretation of Nathan's issues. He just had to be alone with himself.
Yeah.
Really nice.
I liked it too. There was, can we talk about Lee and Catherine?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I love it. Go ahead.
She's throwing herself at him.
Right.
It's a nice place for him to be at as a character, you know, to have this charming, sweet, fun, Southern, you know, full of life girl, like make him number one. And it's kind of nice to see him kind of like just seep in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love Mouth. We all love Mouth. He's our favorite go-to anytime guy, you know, like he's always there for you. He's always reliable. But we're going to go.
Carolina boy, right? That's why.
He is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Norris. We're going to go to listener questions, but before we do, in the interest of the bookends that we talked about and the theme of this episode, the two tragedies in life. At the end of the episode, Mouth disagrees. Speaking of Mouth, he disagrees and says, no, it's, you know, whoever George Bernard Shaw was never kissed Erica Marsh, right? But the sentiment of gaining your heart's desire isn't a tragedy. I'm curious as to what you think about that quote.
I think George Bernard Shaw was a genius, and I think he's right. I do. Absolutely. I mean, you must feel the same way. I mean, I've never suffered more than when I'm in love.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I can handle any tragedy, but when I'm in love, everything is like magnified.
Yes, that's true. But also, you know what made me think of that? Gaining the desire of your heart. There is a tragedy in it because then you've got it. And now what? Now you have to find something else. It's like the death of the chase. When you spend so long chasing a desire, once you have it, it's scary. It's because it's like, well, what do I do now? Now I have it.
Unless you're the child of an alcoholic and you think that you don't deserve it, and so it's going to leave you at one point, so you better work really hard to keep it.
Oh, interesting.
The constant, tension to prove you're worthy of keeping that love.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I don't know that I feel that way. I think I do have I love the chase, and then once I catch it, there's a little part of me, and it's anything. It's not love necessarily, but professional things, projects, anything. It's like once you get it, then it's I think it's kind of a human nature thing. Okay, now what? I got to move on to something else. And that's why the tragedy is that we keep climbing. We keep reaching for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, thinking we're going to arrive somewhere, but we never do.
What's above love? What are you going to reach for above love? Like, what is there above that? Like, how can you reach for anything higher than that?
Yeah, but then you get into the whole esoteric conversation of what is love, and like, where, you know, is love a choice? And then the
That's
responsibilities
what we're
doing.
We're
love.
Having an esoteric conversation. Actually, let me take that back. Let me just say this. And this is a conversation I have with Quinn. And well, I have a very special 11-year-old, so we do have these conversations. I tell him that it doesn't matter necessarily. Like, because I always talk about, like, you know, this pursuit of happiness vibe that goes around. I'm not a believer in it. I don't believe that happiness is something to pursue. It's the byproduct of finding yourself on your purpose.
I agree.
Happiness is kind of like, is the result of something rather than a goal in itself.
Yeah.
And in love, as you said, it's like there is definitely value in to want. Just the words to want. I want this. I want that job. I want that money. I want that person. I want that acclaim. To want is a wonderful thing because it gives a lot of direction and a lot of motivation. But it's really that in itself, the to want part of the life is really what life is. To get is not what life is, but to want is. You know what I mean?
I do. This reminds me of something my French hairdresser told me.
Oh, this is perfect.
He said, I said, I'm hungry. I was sitting in the chair. I said, I'm hungry. And he said, so? Well, I don't know. I was thinking of ordering some food. He said, we'll be done in about an hour. You're fine. You know, you just wait. And I was like, well, but I'm hungry. He goes, it's okay to be hungry. That is life. It's just a feeling that exists. You just are hungry. So what? If you're unhappy, so what? You will be happy again. Just live through the hunger, live through the unhappiness, and you will be fed and you will be happy again. This is the French way of life, he says. It's okay to be hungry.
This is so perfect. We were in Paris not four or five days ago.
Yeah.
We had gotten the kids in the car. Sammy's driving. We're going to a restaurant. It's 10 minutes away. We're 4 minutes into the drive. And in the backseat, I hear, can we just go into that restaurant? I'm hungry. What about that pizza place right there? And Sammy's like, got a place for us. He lives in Paris his whole life. He knows where we're going. And he's like, we're 6 minutes away. Yes, but I'm hungry. And the whole car, I was like thinking to myself, is he going to like throw his plans away for us?
No.
But it was like, this is so perfect.
We had such a passive aggressive fight in the car, you and I. By the way, it wasn't six. It wasn't 4 minutes in. You said, I was like, at least as long as you're not going to be in the car for like a half an hour. How long's the ride? You said 10 minutes. And then 20 minutes later, I'm in the car. Like, are we still there? And he says another 10 minutes. And then I started to have the monster come out. My hangry monster.
But I heard it.
At the end of the day, you're right. At the end of the day, it's okay to exist in the feelings that you're feeling because they will pass and something new will come along.
That's all the feelings are.
Yeah.
They never stay.
Yeah. I wish we could tell Peyton and Chad, Peyton, Lucas and Brooke and Haley and Nathan that in this episode and Karen, but we can't. We'll have to wait until next week where Sophia and me will have a special guest, Miss Lindsay McKeon. Very excited for that.
Ooh, Mother's Day can be hard to shop for because there's that bad habit of buying mom things that she needs, you know, like, oh, here's some oven mitts, mom, or here's a new vacuum cleaner, mom. But Mother's Day is really about showering the woman who does so much with just a little extra love. And so Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. Now you can shop by price, like $25 and under, or $100 and under, or by category, like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or they have gift lists if you're really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, or for the plant lover, or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, Le Creuset Shallot Dutch Oven. It goes on and on. So whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop at Macy's.com/giftfinder. Ooh, honey, you know that I can't wear fancy shoes with a dress. I am a boots and dress woman. So now that festival and concert season are going to be all about boots, Tecovas must be your stop before attending your next concert, you guys. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparels, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. This is so important. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles, and the smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. What if we told you that April showers bring more awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays? That sounds better, right? So Cheap Caribbean Vacations semi-annual sale is helping you rein in an extra $200 off your next booking of 4 nights or more. That means you can score site-wide deals on your favorite beaches like Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April. Don't wait. The semi-annual savings only comes twice a year. So go to CheapCaribbean.com to do your deal and save $200 on your next vacay.
Do you know that this has been a tradition in my family for many years? My mother used to love pecan sandies from Keebler. She would bring them home and I would find her in the kitchen taking a little nibble on a stressful day. And I love it. I love it so much. I've adopted it myself. I love coming home and just taking a moment to step away from all the daily expectations and enjoy a little Keebler Sandy.
Listen, you know I love a snack break, and Keebler Sandies are perfect for that. They are buttery shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, Joy's favorite pecans, and almonds.
Mm. Each Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The delicate sweetness, the buttery flavor, the crumbly texture. They make Keebler Sandies the perfect pairing with your coffee or tea.
Whether you're enjoying Keebler Sandies as an afternoon snack, serving them at a party, or simply indulging in some me time, they are a classic shortbread cookie that brings simple pleasure to every bite.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie and enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Oh, you'll know real when you get it, because it'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you will feel it.
Ooh, maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
And when it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back.
Yeah, because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. So we're going to have a couple listener questions, and we'll do a spin a wheel and we'll say goodbye. The first listener question, Paul, do you have your chat open?
Fire away.
Okay, you read the first one, the Triana. Go ahead.
I have always wondered how they decorate the homes with family pictures. Do they have a photo shoot before the episode is filmed? Also, do they use your real baby pictures or use random people?
They do both. They do both. Yeah. I've had every new job I have, when if I'm in the house, they ask me to, I usually pawn it off to my mom. I usually send the email to my mom and I'm like, can you send them baby pictures of me, please? Or like family photos.
Yeah. But they also throw us in like clothes from another period in time in our lives. And then they Photoshop our faces sometimes. Remember? Like, they
Yeah. Definitely lots of Photoshopping happening.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Frankie. How does it work when someone who is directing the episode is also in it? Like Paul with episode 17. I've done this too. I don't like this at all. I do not like directing an episode that I'm in. I would much prefer just to sit back and, cause it's just so hard to be in the moment of the scene. I'm so fully in the moment as an actor that to have to not be, to have to be watching the other actor in the scene and thinking of notes to give them while we're actually just trying to do a scene, it's very hard for me. How do you feel?
It's different for me. You know, I set it up. I like to see, you know, the framing. So I want to see somebody kind of walk through the paces where we're going to be, what the camera's going to see as it goes along. And once I'm comfortable with what the framing is, you know, I trust, usually we always had, and we had very good people. In fact, our DPs all directed.
Yes.
So their insight was very valuable, and I like to lean on people that I trust. I've actually worked with a lot of people that I don't trust their opinion, but on One Tree Hill, all of the technical crew was fantastic, and I trusted Peter and everybody that was working with. So yeah, I didn't have any problem when I start getting into a scene and acting. You know, it's like I'm one of those fortune kind of people where I'm not too overly hard on myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My outside vision of myself doesn't overpower my wanting to be present for that other actor.
Like
I make that a priority. So a lot of times I'm not sure how it went because I kind of let it go. And then I trust that, you know, Peter Kowalski will go, great, man, move on.
But how do you give another actor that you're in the scene with a note?
Well, usually you'll have done the rehearsal, right?
Before, yeah.
And you'll kind of know what they're going to be throwing out there.
Yeah.
And anything major is going to be addressed in that. But if they're having issues, nuanced issues, generally, and you know this, you know, most actors kind of know when they've, you know, kind of not been able to hit their, what they want, what they needed to hit to make the scene work. And, you know, Yeah, I think
that's true.
I think a lot, especially in that show where it wasn't terribly sophisticated, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Things are pretty straightforward.
Good training ground.
Yeah.
Okay. So guys, we're going to spin a wheel here. And Paul, this is our every episode we do most likely to like a yearbook. So who is most like who, which character and which real life person is most likely to go ahead read it for us, please.
Become a detective.
Oh gosh. Well, Dan would be
Brooke.
Brooke. Yes. She's such a super sleuth.
Absolutely. We didn't even talk about her in this episode.
Oh, I know.
She was so charming.
She was.
She threw her heart out there, and I was going to bring it up a couple of times, and we kept getting other stuff. But she, you know, that one look away in the car when she was, you know, when she was kind of like, and I know you like Peyton, and then you look away, and they rack focused her, and you just want to put her squishy, squishy.
Yeah. We needed her in this episode, actually, just to, I mean, there was so much weight and sadness, her floating in and out
she's so great with Tyler, isn't she?
Yes.
She's funny.
Yes. I wonder if those two characters ever did end up in bed together. That would have been really funny.
Oh, you know what? If they didn't, it's a missed opportunity because those guys are.
Yeah.
For me, they're the two funniest people on the show.
For sure.
They're very, very funny.
Yes.
And I love Tyler.
Me too.
Her energy was so good in that episode. You know, the one thing I was going to say also, we got to quickly point out this. This was a very strong voice of the opening where the three girls talked about what's inside their minds.
I wasn't in the opening.
No, they were reading. They were reading the quote and then they were talking. It was like, Hillary, Sophia, and then, but we were hearing inside their minds for a second as we got into this. And I thought, you know, I love that our show gave that privilege to us as an audience, right?
Yeah.
Like, here's the thoughts of, because we always talk about what's the influence of the show on young people.
Right.
Well, here's young people talking, you know, this is what's inside my head right now as this is happening. And I thought that was a nice way to make a connection with your audience.
Yeah, I think so too. I love that. I love that they allowed us to take over the monologue that previously had only been Lucas's. Chats. Yeah, that's really nice. Well, guys, thank you for joining us for this
very special
episode. Paul, you were awesome. I love chatting with you always. Next time we'll do it later with wine. Dinner at Pache.
I'm in.
Okay. Hey everybody, come on back next week. We're going to be watching the season two finale, number 23, The Leavers Dance. And we will pull a scenario from the virtual, most likely two hat. See you later. Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at dramaqueensoth.
Or email us at dramaqueens@iheartradio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens, drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Friends, it is the season of Cheers. Shop the largest selection of wine, liquor, beer, mixers, and more delivered in as little as 1 hour.
Oh, that's so easy. Mini Bar Delivery brings the wine and liquor store to the palm of your hand. As featured in Rolling Stone, People, the New York Times Magazine, their app is loaded with party essentials, gifts, cocktails, entertaining tips, and the perfect finishing touch to any life moment.
And you'll get $10 off your first mini bar delivery order with code IHEART. Get mini bar delivery on the go, available on iOS or Android.
What if we told you that April showers bring more awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays? That sounds better, right? So Cheap Caribbean Vacations semi-annual sale is helping you rein in an extra $200 off your next booking of 4 nights or more. That means you can score site-wide deals on your favorite beaches like Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April. Don't wait. The semi-annual savings only comes twice a year. So go to cheapcaribbean.com to do your deal and save $200 on your next vacay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Boy, I've spent
definitely a significant amount of time in therapy in my life. And I think there's just so many layers to life that can be hard to navigate, and having somebody there to just talk through things really makes the days easier sometimes.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You guys, have you heard about Squarespace? You must have, because I talk about it all the time. Their website has helped me with my businesses, but it will also help you grow your business. And it really does take the guesswork out of building a website. They have so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of our favorite product features is the Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine, built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
I don't know about y'all. I love the holidays, and they also stress me out. Yesterday, I was trying to get everybody's gifts wrapped, and I just needed a second. I was on my fourth paper cut, and I was like, okay, take a walk around the house, calm yourself down. And you know what I did? I went and got myself a cookie, and I felt better. So all I'm saying is, if you're tired or besieged by paper cuts, I think you deserve a cookie too.
I agree. Guys, Keebler Sandies are buttery. They're shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, pecans, and almonds.
And each Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by those cute little Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies. It's the perfect treat that'll keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.